If there's one thing that we've learned over the last 6 months or so, it's that things can get very complicated. Life can become overwhelming. Even the routine things that we did before COVID, going to the grocery store, getting our hair cut, going to church, hanging out with friends, each and every one of those has to now be thought through very specifically and very intentionally with an eye towards safety. And as the election gets even closer, that gets overwhelming and complicated as we learn about the candidates, as we listen to the talking points, we listen to the issues, and even the process of voting that we used to just go to our local school and check a box, that is now more complicated. So even the most well-organized, intelligent, on top of everything kind of people are probably feeling a bit overwhelmed these days. Now, I'm one of those people who readily goes down rabbit holes. Whenever there's an issue and there's a complicating factor, I like to try to find that complicating factor and try to solve it. Try to lessen the conflict or lessen what is confusing there. But the problem is, eventually I get into the complications and those complications become complicated. And before long, I forget what it is that was originally the problem. COVID, obviously, is very complicated. Politics, complicated. Racism has been on my mind a lot lately, and that gets complicated. Even though it's on one level, it's very, very simple, it gets so complicated. The Lives Matter phrases, Black Lives Matter, All Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter, and the ensuing arguments among those. The terms white supremacy, white privilege, fragility, white comfort, and the arguments about those. The peaceful demonstrations where people want to and in fact need to be heard, those become complicated as people riot and threaten destruction of property and life. And then the questions of, are there outside instigators that are paying people or in other ways stoking the fires of the riots, encouraging people to riot? And if so, who are the people that are instigating and stirring the pot? And then there's the ensuing argument about that. Defunding and demilitarizing the police. And each one of these, I'm sure, spins your mind off as you think about your thoughts and feelings about these, and you defend or support your perspectives. They spin off other conversations. They become complicated, and there's reasons why people believe each of these things, and we want to know more. So we dig in. We spend some time researching. But boy, does that take a lot of time, and does that get complicated, and does that get overwhelming? Because who do you listen to? Where are the facts? What is the truth? And the answers to those are largely dependent on who you watch, what you read, and who you hang out with. And as we dig in, as things get complicated and you have all these other conversations, you come back to the issue of what is the problem that started all of this. And that is the problem of racism, and that tends to get lost in all of this. Believe it or not, the parable that we hear in Matthew's gospel today has a lot of wisdom that it can offer to you and to me as we deal with these overwhelming and complicated things that face us in our lives. As you heard, the story is of a landowner who who plants a vineyard and puts up a fence, digs a wine press, builds a watchtower, and then leaves that land and all that he's built in the hands of tenants who are to manage it. Now, it takes a while for a new vineyard to begin to produce, and scholars think that it may have taken about 5 years before the landowner would have sent people to collect produce from his tenants. But in that time, the tenants really invested themselves, and they felt that they were had actually become the landowners, and that all of this, the land, the vineyard, the wine press, and the produce was all theirs. And from their perspective, why shouldn't it be? They worked hard for a long time, invested themselves. Isn't it only fair that it should be theirs? So as you heard, the tenants, they beat and killed the messenger, and when the landowner's son came, they also killed him. Even though they are the tenants, they didn't want to hand over the produce to the landowner. Why did they think they even had any claim on the produce? It wasn't theirs. They killed the landowner's son because they wanted the inheritance. You see, their original purpose was to focus on the fruit, to help it grow, to be prepared for when the harvest did come, when the fruit was ripe. And so it sounds to me that the tenants got distracted. What were they there for? They lost track of that. What was their purpose? They lost track of that. And besides all of this, what was happening to the vineyard? What was happening to the produce? What was happening to the fruit while they were scheming about how they would keep all of this for themselves? You see, this parable didn't just challenge the people who were listening to Jesus at the time. This parable challenges us. This parable shines light in our lives. And so the challenge, the word that I hear for us today is this: what we focus on grows. What we focus on grows. Now, you may have heard other phrases similar to this, like what's measured gets done, for example, because you focus on those things that you have to report on, those things that you have to tell someone else, this is the measure of what I have done. So you do those things, you accomplish those things. So what you focus on becomes your priority. What you focus on receives your attention. What you focus on receives your care, your effort, your intellect, your resources. I think the tenants would agree with what I'm saying so far. But where they would disagree, where they would diverge, is with this question: to what end? Why? Why do they focus on and give of themselves? What is the end result that they hope for? That's where things diverge. So what we focus on grows. We can focus on our jobs. We can focus on the most intimate relationships in our lives. We can give them our time. We can give them our attention. We can give them the best of ourselves. And to what end? Well, in these, our jobs, we hope to do a good job. We hope to receive some kind of praise. There's a sense of accomplishment. In our relationships, we hope to build and deepen those relationships, build on the trust and fun and whatever else we get from that relationship. But we can also focus on those things that distract us, that pull us away from those primary things in our lives. We can focus on those things that divide us as people and therefore lose sight of what our purpose is as humans. And to what end? Well, we may have good reasons for going down the rabbit hole, while we may have good reasons for chasing after or dealing with those complications that we see, in the end, what is the fruit that's born from this focus? Is it a fruit that you intend? Is it fruit that builds you up or builds the community up? Is it fruit that is for the greater good? Or is it fruit that results in more division, more frustration, more anger, more bitterness towards others? I think it's also true to say that what we do not focus on either doesn't grow or grows without us. So like the tenants who became focused on their scheming, what happened to the vineyard? Did things keep growing? Did predators come and eat or destroy some of the produce? We don't know. But see, this is where God gives us the gift of free will. We choose what we want to focus on, what we want to see grow. We choose what fruit we want to see result in more fruit. We choose that. And our Christian discipleship influences our choices because we believe that Jesus calls us to follow wherever he leads the way. And so again, we have a choice. We can choose to focus and participate in helping nurture the fruit, helping it grow and harvesting along with God's wishes. But we can also choose not to focus and not to participate, leaving the fruit either not to grow or to grow without our participation or our help. Those of you who are involved with Bethel, you know that we plan, we meet, we talk, we strategize, and sometimes we argue and we debate. And just think about the hours that are involved in planning any kind of event that we hold at Bethel. Think about the hours that are involved in the fall festival that's coming up next week. Hours upon hours. Now, we can choose to focus on these things that build the work and the ministry of Jesus. We can choose that. But we may end up thinking that the ministry is ours, that the church is ours, that worship is ours. And when we think that things related to God, related to the church, are ours instead of us in the role as caretakers, then we expect things to be the way we want them to be, comfortable for us. But isn't our call as a church to be welcoming, to make things comfortable for guests and visitors so that they will feel welcome into this household of faith? So we, like the tenants, can become distracted. We can forget what the main focus of church is. What do we do as Bethel? And where is our focus? Where should our focus be? What should grow because God calls for growth? Is our focus the same as God's? Or do we lose focus, become distracted, and forget our purpose? Are we like the tenants in God's vineyard who are focusing on the fruit, helping it to grow, being ready for the harvest, and then releasing the fruit, releasing the produce of the harvest for God's purposes? Jesus uses us, and he uses this parable in our lives, much like he did in the lives of the religious leaders of his time, to call us to look at those things that receive the focus in our lives and to look at the fruit that that focus bears. Then we can adjust where necessary. We have the grace of God that covers us and directs us and moves us and inspires us. And we focus on the growth of the fruit God's purpose. In the name of Jesus, amen.